And we, last time, I think we were looking at Ephesians, the preparation of the gospel of peace. And now it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield of faith, you know, the first thing that it says about this is, above all. Why do you think it says that?
Most important.
Okay, is that what you have in yours?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that's what I said. Yeah.
Okay.
Great minds.
Yeah, great minds think alike. You know the other side of that, do you?
Yeah, I want to hear it.
Okay. It says, above all, take the shield of faith. How important faith is in the Christian walk.
Oh, everything.
Do you know that Martin Luther discovered a verse of scripture that changed his life and caused a great reformation? Do you know what that verse of scripture was?
You are saved by grace through faith.
That's not the exact
That's
scripture.
That's not the one.
No, but it's it is.
Not of works.
That wasn't the passage. No?
Okay.
No, it's actually repeated a few times in the New Testament. It's found in Romans chapter 1, and it's this verse: "The just
shall live by faith."
Yes. This was the testimony that had caused Martin Luther to be transformed, and it is a testimony that is still a testimony, and it's in Galatians. I think it's three times in the New Testament, it's quoted from the Old Testament. The just shall live by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that Martin Luther saw it as the key to salvation, that salvation was by faith.
Mm-hmm.
But the text says the just shall
live
by faith. So it is not just getting saved by faith, but it's living by faith.
Yeah.
Now, if I asked you a word that explained faith, what would you come up with?
Trust.
Okay, trust. Any other ones?
Believe.
Believe, okay. Believe is the common one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see?
Mm-hmm.
Any other words that you
Devotion.
Think? Devotion, okay.
Grace.
Grace.
Undeserved.
It's undeserved, yeah.
Surrender.
Mm-hmm.
Surrender.
And it's God given.
Dependence on.
I like the word dependence.
Dependence.
Dependence and trust are probably the two best words to define faith.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that the belief is there's an understanding of belief sometimes. Like we know that the devil believes it and he trembles, right?
Yeah.
So belief is a good word, but it means more than just to believe. It means to rely upon, to trust, to depend upon.
Right.
And that's where faith comes in. Faith means that I am resting on God to accomplish for me rather than on myself or anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
It's dependence on God.
Mm-hmm.
The just shall live in dependence upon God.
Mm-hmm.
The just shall live in a place of trusting God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the place of faith. And so taking up the shield of faith, he says here, which you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So remember, we're looking at the soldier in the battle and showing that we're in a battle and that we are wrestling not against flesh and blood. People are not your enemies. They are never your enemies, no matter who they are, no matter what they do to you. Even if they killed you, they wouldn't really be the true enemy that's behind it all.
Mm-hmm.
The enemies behind it are spiritual wickedness in high places, which we've seen already. And he says that the shield of faith is able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, a shield, what's the importance of a shield to a soldier? That's a tongue twister.
Mm-hmm.
A shield to a soldier. Don't try to say that fast.
It's his protection.
Okay.
It protects his vital parts.
It is extremely protection, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It is such a protection. Now notice this. You know that the rest of the armor is worn right on the body. So that even if you have the armor, you're going to feel the blows, right? But a shield, what does it actually do?
It stops it before it gets to you.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like preventative measures.
Yeah.
You know how often we get really sick and then we go and we try to take stuff to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is often better to Prevention. What is it?
Yeah,
an ounce of prevention is worth
a
pound of
cure.
That's before metric days, by the way.
Yeah.
Now it would be what? Never mind.
Yeah.
And it's the truth, isn't it?
Yeah.
Prevention is far better than dealing with the mess afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Often we are on the other side of it. We're responding to the messes that we get ourselves in because we are not living by faith.
Mm-hmm.
We are living in our own strength, in our own power. We're trying our best for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God doesn't want your best. Your best is not good enough. If your best was good enough, you wouldn't need God.
And Jesus because wouldn't have had to die.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
So because your best is just not going to cut it, we need to live by faith. And not only for the attacks that come against us, but the trials that we face, the situations that we are involved in our lives.
Yeah.
And we could go around this room and every one of us would have some kind of a mountain in our life, right?
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's only a molehill, but to somebody else, it might be a molehill, but to you, it's a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
But each one of those mountains, the only way to live is by faith. That means I have to trust God.
Oh, totally.
We've been doing Genesis in Inverness, and it's been interesting to watch as Abraham, instead of trusting God and Sarah, they made a baby. They had to make a baby because God wasn't coming through.
Yeah.
Things weren't happening, you know, in the time that they expected it to happen, and they had to hurry up and push things along.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that? Have you ever tried to push things along?
Never. Never, ever.
And have you ever found out what happens when you try to push things along?
Makes it worse.
Yeah. It makes a bigger mess.
Yeah.
We are not God. We cannot fix ourselves, and we cannot fix anybody else.
That's right.
But we sure do try.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
It makes things worse.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting to find out in the life of Jacob and Rebekah, Rebekah did the same thing. Instead of trusting God to establish the birthright for Jacob, Rebecca did the whole deception thing and got her own son to be involved in it. And Jacob ended up being a deceiver for most of his life until God actually broke him many, many years later. It wasn't that God abandons us. It isn't that God doesn't continually stay with us. It's just that we're often in the wilderness because we are not living by faith.
Yeah.
And so I want to encourage us
mm-hmm.
to think about living by faith as a reality in the circumstances of life, not just I'm trusting Christ that he died for my sins.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for that.
Oh, yeah.
But I need to trust Christ for every little thing.
Right. Yeah.
Where I am not living by faith, I am living in independence of God. I am living in unbelief. And do you know what Hebrews calls a heart of unbelief? You know what it's described? Do you know the adjective that is used to describe a heart of unbelief? Guess what word is used?
Stone.
Hmm?
A stone?
A stone? No.
Worthless?
Evil.
Evil.
An evil heart of unbelief. That's a strong word, isn't it? God considers unbelief evil. It is the sin that's under every other sin. It is the sin of Adam and Eve was unbelief.
Yeah.
Has God really said?
Yeah.
Doubting
that's
God. Doubting God's promise.
Right.
Unbelief is the one sin that people will be in hell for because they refuse to trust God. That's what it ultimately will come down to is unbelief. And it is the one sin that we are more prone to practice. And if we can come down to the root of it and discover it is unbelief that is causing most of my troubles because I am not trusting on God. I'm not relying upon the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to have troubles, external troubles, but it does mean that I can find myself in a place of peace in the midst of it. The topic of faith and unbelief and belief is so riddled throughout the Bible that if we were going to cover this living by faith, we're going to have to go through the whole New Testament. So we're not going to do that. But we need to get at least a general picture of the necessity of faith to be practiced in our lives moment by moment. It's just absolutely necessary. There's just no other way around it. A couple of thoughts on this. If you read, I think I have it up on that computer. There's two, there you go. Is it gone? Oh, did I open it in that one?
It's Jesus' feet? Is that the one?
No. You want to open up the, I guess I had it on this computer. I forgot. Can you close that for a second? And go to PowerPoint presentations up on the top. Sorry, guys. I thought I was prepared here. And go down to faith. Well, not Faith Illustrated, but faith. Okay, click. It's coming there. And F5. The necessity of faith, and here's some verses in that regard, and we're just going to go quickly through them, but 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's absolutely required. It's impossible to please God without faith.
Mm-hmm.
I have to have it.
Mm-hmm.
So we see that this is there's no question that it is a necessity in the Christian life. Here's the verses I mentioned. Habakkuk 2:4, to behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. What do we discover here? What's the opposite of faith?
Unbelief.
Proud? Pride.
In this passage, it's actually pride.
Yeah.
Which is what? Independence from God.
Yeah.
It's unbelief. It's I can do it. I can manage.
Mm-hmm.
It's my responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of leaning and depending on God. And it says his soul is not upright in him. But the opposite of it is the just shall live by his faith. And then we have it quoted three times in the New Testament. You see, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith as is written. The just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17. Galatians 3:11. No one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So we can see the absolute necessity of faith there. The next slide.
So the lost are proud, it's true, but like, because my parents are very proud, prideful people, but they worry all the time. There's anxiety with that too.
Oh, there has to be.
Worry and anxiety
there
all
has to
the
be
time.
Because there's nobody in control but themselves. And there's a great unknown out there, and
yeah,
so many things can happen.
Like, I'll get calls, my mother said, I didn't sleep all night, I was worried.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh.
Yeah. So often what we're facing, when we're not living by faith, we're no different. You don't have to be an unbeliever to be anxious, do you?
Yeah.
And full of fear and worry and everything else. All of these things stem from the place of not living in faith. But I want us to look at what the source of faith is, because sometimes you can, feel like, how do I get more faith? So Peter, calling to remembrance, said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered, said to them, have the faith of God. Now, this is the literal translation of this. The newer modern translations will often say have faith in God. But the literal translation is have the faith of God. Now that gives me hope, because it means I don't have to drum up faith.
Yeah, you don't have to muster it up.
You try to muster up faith and you'll find it doesn't work very well. I can't believe, I'm going to believe, I'm going to try harder to believe, I'm really going to believe now. If I strain, I'm believing. And I'm not exaggerating here. Many Christians are trying to have more faith in that by doing that. It doesn't work. Faith has not come from you. It comes from God.
Yeah.
Now, of course, we also know faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God, because as the truth burns into our souls, remember, the Holy Spirit is doing this, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Spirit of God taking the truth of the Word of God and burning it into our souls and creating faith in Him.
Hallelujah.
So it's the faith of God. And that sets us free from the self-tyranny, the tyranny of self-effort to try to have more faith. Mm-hmm. Galatians 2:20, again, literal translation. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Most translations say it doesn't make sense. It must mean that by faith in the Son of God. But the word is actually of the Son of God.
What do you mean by the literal translation?
What I mean is that if you take the actual Greek,
okay,
the word is actually, yes, should be translated of. And sometimes to make it sound more reasonable,
yeah,
they just put in the Son of God.
Yeah.
But literally, it's the faith of the Son of God. So it is the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, isn't that good? A good kind of faith? Mm-hmm. Isn't that better than the kind of faith that I could muster up? Mm-hmm. You remember where it says, by grace you are saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Mm-hmm. Do you ever think about that, as that faith itself is a gift of God as well?
Yeah.
To be actually received?
Yeah.
So that, once again, is a great encouragement in this, so that we see that the source of faith is from God Himself. That's much better than ourselves.
Well, the Bible says to everyone is given a measure of faith.
Absolutely. Let's look at the next. I think the next verse says that. Next one. The measure of faith. We're going to talk about measure of faith and see. And we're going to go to this, and that verse will come up. We'll bring that up too, because that is, once again, very clearly, I could have put it with the other ones. Unto every one of us is given the measure of faith. So no Christian is without faith. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't be saved.
Yeah.
God granted faith to you, or you wouldn't be a Christian. Mm-hmm. He did it. Mm-hmm. And so you give Him all the glory for it. But let's think about great faith or little faith for a few moments, because that's a big issue. Mm-hmm. I think many Christians are looking and striving to have more faith. Mm-hmm. And here is what Jesus has to say about it. Jesus said this: take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Now, we know in another passage, Jesus spoke about 70 times seven times, right? But just seven times, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Why did they say increase our faith?
They couldn't see themselves forgiving that many times.
That's right. So they looked at the situation. They said, this is impossible.
Yeah.
What we need is more faith in order to be able to meet this challenge. Mm-hmm. It makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Have you ever asked God to increase your faith?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Look what Jesus said. This was His answer. Mm-hmm. And this is very important. The Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled out by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Mm-hmm. So they asked for more faith, and what did Jesus say?
You already have enough.
Jesus said, take the little faith you have and put it in a great God.
Yes.
It is not the faith that produces the power. Mm-hmm. We must understand that, because I think sometimes there is a problem in the Christian church where the focus on faith is a wrong focus. Now, the reason why I say this is that the focus must always be on God.
Yeah. Yeah.
If the focus is not on God, then the faith is useless.
Yeah.
And there's where the push to try to have more faith, it's almost like if I had more faith, I could do more.
Yeah.
But it's not you that's doing it, you see.
Yeah.
Sometimes the name it, claim it crowd
have
caused great damage, because what they have done is they have lifted up the whole concept of faith almost beyond the concept of God Himself, so that you're the one that can do anything if you just have more faith.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that God's the one that can do anything if you exercise faith in Him.
That's right.
You see the difference between the two? It's not a subtle difference. It's a huge difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
In his nature. And so the answer that Jesus gives is a small amount of faith will go a tremendously long way. So that it isn't, it is the faith in a God. I know you've heard me quote this before. When people came to Hudson Taylor, who was an amazing man. If you've never read his life story, get it and read it.
Hudson Taylor.
Yeah. The best book on the life of Hudson Taylor, there's a number of them out there, is, I have a blank spot. Oh. Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret.
Spiritual Secret.
Yes. Actually, if you go online, you might be able to get it. And if you want it on your computer, let me know and I can email you the entire book.
Ooh, could you do that?
And it's called Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. Okay.
You said if you want it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I said that, but my hard drive disappeared. So I will, I will find it for you and get it for you online.
Okay.
And it is a story of Hudson Taylor's amazing man of faith. And people came to him, they said, you must be a man of great faith. And you know what his answer was? No, he said, I'm a man of little faith in a great God.
Yeah.
There's the secret, you see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So rather than striving to have more faith, now I will tell you that faith does increase. That there is an increase in faith.
Mm-hmm.
But the increase in faith comes by the exercising of the amount of the faith that you have now.
Yeah.
So increase of faith comes with the usage of it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever hear me use the illustration of three guys getting on a plane? You've probably heard me say this before more than once. You remember this?
Yeah.
Three people get on a plane. One flies all the time. One, just a few times. One is absolutely terrified. So the three of them get on the plane. The one that's terrified almost gets his imprints on the rails as he's getting on the plane, right? The one that's flies every day, he sits down, he opens his paper, and he's reading it. He doesn't even notice the plane taking off. He doesn't notice the plane landing. Why is that?
Experience.
He's flown over and over again, and he's discovered that the pilot and the planes are trustworthy, right? Right? So usage does, what it does do, it isn't, now I've got to say this, the nervous one, the one that's absolutely terrified, and then the one in the middle, as long as the one in the middle looks over at this other guy and he says, oh, this is going to be all right, then he looks over at this guy and says, we're going down, right? But the other fellow is just terrified the whole trip. But is it true that the one who had little faith gets there much later than the one who had great faith?
No.
They all get on the same time.
Why is that?
They're on the same plane.
Because the plane.
Because they all had enough...
The plane!
Because they all had enough faith to get on the plane, right? Because it was not in their hands any longer, was it?
No.
It was completely in the hands of the pilot and the plane to get them there. They could get out and flap their wings. They could do anything they wanted, and it wouldn't get them there any sooner or any later. They would all land at the same time.
Yeah.
So the amount of faith they had wasn't the issue.
No.
There's the illustration of faith is in something else. Faith always must have an object to believe in.
Yeah.
But the difference between the three is what then?
Well, one's much more relaxed.
Ah, that's right. The difference is how you're going to enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So great faith does have a good place in it,
mm-hmm.
because it means you're going to enjoy the ride a lot more.
Yeah.
Right? But there is always the challenge, of course, to exercise the little faith you have, even in the smallest circumstances that you're facing. So we have this testimony of a little faith. Can you go on to the next one?
I remember the first Sunday school concert when you was here, and the kids were so wound up, and they were running around, and, you know, like they're so super excited, and he was sort of standing there, you know, in shock, and I went over and I said, everything's going really good.
And I was going to say that, you know what,
experience, right?
Yeah. And that is where, like, spiritual grandparents, spiritual parents are so important, because
absolutely.
they give that, okay, if, you know, you've been around the bend,
even, right.
Whether it be marriage, whether it be
yes.
illness, whatever, money problems, there are wiser, elderly, not elderly, but older people, spiritually older, people who you can, you know what I mean, in the family of God, go to and be reassured that, hey,
wonderful, it's an excellent point.
Know?
And that's part of this whole body of mm-hmm. Christ, and mm-hmm. that we can, that the exercise of faith, the growth in faith, can be a blessing to others, so that they too can grow Absolutely. In faith.
Right. Because when you hear someone, say what God has done mm-hmm. in their lives, it builds your faith.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
It does.
Yeah. Growing confidence in God.
You know?
And that's where biographies, good biographies of men and women who walk with God are a real blessing. And it's something that I want to encourage us to read. And I'll try to get the Hudson Taylor story to you. Mm-hmm. And it'll blow you away. Mm-hmm. And then there are other great biographies that will really encourage you and help you to grow. Mm-hmm. So this is the verse that you mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. For I say, though the grace... To the grace given to me, to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. What's that?
Don't be proud.
That's right. Yeah. Remember the Old Testament? Yeah, all the Bible's so tied together, right?
Yeah.
But to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So God has given a measure of faith to each one.
What's the scripture reference for that one?
I am sorry, I don't have it marked there. It's in the book of Romans, and I think it's in chapter 3. But I'm guessing.
I didn't even notice the reference scripture.
Okay. Good question, but I believe it's in Romans.
I mean, we can't even take any credit for getting saved.
Oh, absolutely
no.
not.
Like, you know,
no.
we
couldn't have even on
we
our own.
We wouldn't be saved if
Romans
we were on
12:3.
Romans 12:3?
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you. Yeah. Romans 12:3. No, we wouldn't press shift F5 if you're gonna when you go back. You know, sometimes when we're first saved, we say I found the Lord, but when we get on a little, we realize, the Lord found me.
Yes,
we correct that.
And who am I that the Lord would be mindful of me?
Oh,
yes.
It's the truth.
Yeah. Like, why would He pick us?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So now I'm going to give you whet your appetite a little bit with an excerpt from Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. This is a quote from Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret, and this is a crisis time in Hudson Taylor's experience after he had trusted God for amazing things. This is after he had trusted God for amazing things, and he was struggling with unbelief. And this is a man who, when he was working for a doctor, Hudson Taylor was a doctor, but he was apprenticing under a doctor in England before he went to China. And he resolved that he would never ask even for his wages, that he would only ask God for everything that he needed. And the doctor that he worked for was notorious for forgetfulness.
Oh, no.
And so when his wages were due, the doctor would forget to pay him. But Hudson Taylor would not ask, because he was going to trust. He said, if I can't learn to trust God for this simple thing, how am I going to trust him to live in China?
Was he married?
Eventually he was.
Because I'm sure his wife would have been really frustrated.
Yeah.
No, it's true.
From a woman's perspective.
At that time, he was not married.
Yeah,
but he would come. It would come down to the wire, because he also knew he had to honor his debts. So here he had to pay his bills, and I'm stretching and remembering what went on in this one situation. But it came down to the point where he had to pay his rent.
Yeah,
and the doctor had not given, and he was tempted to ask the doctor. He resolved, I must trust God.
Yeah,
and he was sitting there. The doctor was leaving, and the doctor left. And if I remember rightly, you know, Hudson Taylor says, God, what are you going to do? How are you going to fix this? What's going to happen here? And the doctor actually came back, saying that he forgot to pay him.
Praise
God. So he's learning to trust God. So here's a man who is amazingly walking, trusting God, but he was struggling with unbelief in his this is well on in his Christian experience.
Yeah.
And he says this, do you know, I now think that this striving and longing and hoping for better days to come is not the true way to holiness, happiness, or usefulness. It is better, no doubt, far better than being satisfied with poor attainments, but not the best way. After all, I've been struck with a passage from a book entitled Christ is All. It says, the Lord Jesus received his holiness begun. The Lord Jesus cherished his holiness advancing, but the Lord Jesus counted upon as never absent would be holiness complete. You count on him as never absent. How often in a quick, stormy situation, we hit the panic button because suddenly it feels like Christ is absent, but counted upon as never absent. Next slide. He is most holy who has most of Christ within and joys most fully in the finished work. It is defective faith which clogs the feet and causes many a fall. This last sentence I think I now fully endorse. To let my loving Savior work in me his will, my sanctification is what I would live for by his grace, abiding, not striving, nor struggling. Looking off to him, trusting him for present power, resting in the love of an almighty Savior, in the joy of a complete salvation from all sin. This is not new, and yet it's new to me. I feel as though the dawning of a glorious day had risen upon me. I hail it with trembling, yet with trust. I seem to have got to the edge only, but of a boundless sea, to have sipped only, but of that which fully satisfies. Christ literally all seems to me now the power, the only power for service, the only ground for unchanging joy. Next slide. Oh, I guess I don't. Is there a slide missing?
Oh, yeah. Get us all interested.
Yeah.
You kind of lost me.
Can you go back?
I'm kind of lost.
Okay, go back one more. Go back one more. Okay. What I'm missing there is not a striving, what it says, I thought I had that slide in there, not a striving to have more faith, but a looking off to the faithful one. Right? Same idea.
Never absent. I love that. That just hit me.
Yeah. Christ counted upon as never absent would be holiness complete. That's the place of faith. That means in this moment, I can trust him. In this moment. All you have is the moment. God is not going to give you the faith to trust him for something that hasn't happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, that's where we are.
Oh.
We're living in the future or we're living in the past.
Yeah.
And if we would only live in this moment, we would find God to be enough.
Yeah.
How our fears climb and how we project what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, it doesn't. Okay, you can go ahead and get through there. Now, the whole book isn't like that. Or that Louise Marie. That was a profound experience that Hudson Taylor came to, and it changed his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of anxiety and worry, he became a free man.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where at one point, some of his fellow, he had missionaries on the field, 200 of them on the field in China. And at one area, there was persecution happening. And some of them were actually being threatened with being put to death. And some of the missionaries were just totally walking around distressed. And they said, Hudson Taylor seemed as calm. And they were almost cross at him. You know, why aren't you worrying like us? He said, what good will it do? He said, I've committed them to my Heavenly Father, and I'm trusting him for them. He had learned to trust God.
Astounds me is not that he had learned to trust God, it's that he never forgot, because moment to moment,
yeah,
or situation to situation, one minute we can be like, yeah, he's here, we're with him, but it's not to forget that.
Yes, but that is that's
right,
coming to the place where, okay, God is on the throne, he's always on the throne, he's always here, he is fully in control. Glorious.
Way of thinking and being.
I know.
Pardon me?
It's a whole way of thinking and being.
That's right.
You know,
and staying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's radical. And it's life-changing to live by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And when we realize, sometimes we come to places where we realize, whoa, I have not been living by faith near as much as I thought I was.
Mm-hmm.
But as we begin to grow in that experience, we realize it's the only way I can live. It's the only way that any Christianity is actually being manifested. It's the only life there is to live by faith. The position of faith looks away from self and feeling and experience to the truth in Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:6 says, you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. How did you get saved? You simply trusted Christ to save you. How are you going to live? You simply must trust Christ to live in you. That's all it is. It's that simple. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Next slide. I don't know if there's any more here. Yeah, this is just an illustration of facts, faith, and feeling.
It's a good one.
You've seen it before?
Yes.
Yeah.
Doug tells it to me all the time.
Oh, yeah. And I just want to give you the simplicity of faith. I sure say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child by no means enter in it. It's simple enough, isn't it? Childlike faith. Childlike trust. It's simple. This is a quote from the Green Letters by Miles Stanford. To consent to being loved while unworthy is a great secret. No matter what you feel or who you are or what you have done. And of course, Jesus spoke here to the Syrophoenician woman. We had quoted that earlier there. Next slide. It's a simple coming. Faith does not create the name and claim of people. That's what they claim.
Mm-hmm.
Faith
mm-hmm.
creates.
So
it rests on God. Knowing, reckoning, and yielding to God because of the facts. Christ has done all to place us in himself. Don't chase your feelings. Don't put it into your account because you feel it, but because it is so. Do not hold up your sincerity as if that will win the day. Being earnest and sincere is not the answer. The day has been won by Jesus. It's believed.
Amen.
What baffles my mind sometimes when I'm anxious about something is I say to God, I trust you that if I died this very moment, I'd go to heaven.
Yes.
Why can't I relax and trust you with all this other stuff?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. And yet God can bring us there. But he brings us there by hearing the truth, by sorting out so that we are seeing that I can't trust my feelings. I can't go by what I want.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be that place of don't let me be independent, Lord. Don't let me say, God, this is what I want. This is what I expect. And I want you to do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm trying to be in control. So I have to yield. I have to give away everything. What I don't give away, I must manage. What I must manage, I must worry over.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever's I have to manage, well, good luck to us, because then we have to manage it. But whatever Christ manages, it's his responsibility. It's not mine anymore. And when he has it all, there's nothing left for me to manage. Whatever I hold on to, and all of us in this room are probably managing some things, right? And those things are what cause worry and fear and frustration and care. We want to be in control to some extent in our lives. Where we are in control, we must look after it, and we must manage it. So there's that place, that faith. Faith means I'm no longer depending on myself. It's not independence. It's surrender. It's you're managing that. It's not my business anymore. You're looking at it. It's not my business anymore. Whatever it is, the deepest trials, the greatest joys, every experience, we lay at your feet, Lord.
And it's once you pick it up to put it back there.
Well,
because, you know, you can put it there and feel at peace for a while and then, you picked it back up.
Absolutely. And what is so important about that is to realize what has happened. If I know what has happened, that I'm no longer counting up on Christ as present. If I realize in the moment that I have taken over again, it is far better to be resting for a moment, a minute in a day, than to not rest at all.
For sure.
So take the minute, rejoice in it, and if I've moved out of it, then I realize what I've done. I've moved into unbelief. I've moved into not trusting God and to relying on my own strength, power, wisdom, whatever it might be. Repent and come back.
And this is where.
And there is a sense of learning in that sense, where there's a sense of growing in this, so that maybe tomorrow I'll rest for 5 minutes, maybe 15. And as that grows, we will begin to discover I can live by faith because that's what God calls me to.
Yeah. I was just thinking, this is where the body is good too for accountability.
Yes.
And for mirroring each other. Like I know my husband
yeah.
does that a lot. He'll say, you know, you pick that up. you need to put that at the Lord's feet, and right. you know, at that moment, I'm like,
absolutely,
because you're frustrated, but then you realize, yeah, it's true, I did.
Encouraging one another in these directions.
Yeah.
Spiritual rest, instead of, you know, okay, you just got to have more faith. You just got to have more faith. This is not what Jesus taught. What Jesus taught, what you need to do is rest now. Mm. Take the little faith you have and put it in a great God. You don't need more of God. You have him. Yeah. He's already here.
Isn't that just awesome?
He's amazing. He's enough. Hallelujah. Well, to tell you the truth, I feel like we did not finish the passage we were looking at. So we will probably go on a little further next time.
Yeah.
But